May the Lord help us to commence by singing part of hymn number 298. We'll sing the first three verses and hope to sing the second part for the middle hymn. The Canaanites still in the land, to harass, perplex and dismay, brought Israel of older to stand, for Anak was stronger than they. What God had designed they possessed, supported and kept by his hand. Yet lest on their lees they should rest, the Canaanites dwelt in the land. Hymn 298, the first three verses.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the book of Exodus, chapter 2. The book of Exodus, reading chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived, and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, 2 men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me, as thou killedst the Egyptian?" And Moses feared, and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to rule their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershon, for he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." And it came to pass in process of times that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Let us pray. Most holy, almighty, eternal Lord God, teach us now to pray, granting us the gift of the Holy Ghost, that we may pray aright and not amiss, that we may ask in faith and not in unbelief, that we may come boldly unto the throne of grace, and there to obtain mercy, and there to find grace to help in time of need. For Lord, we come to thee just as we are. We come as sinners, guilty sinners, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, sins of thought, sins of word, sins of deed, sins of commission, sins of omission, and sins against light and knowledge, sins immense as is the sea. And oh, that we are repetitive sinners, guilty through and through, all unholy and unclean. I am nothing else but sin. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Lord, we are all guilty. We are all deserving of hell, deserving of thy wrath, thine anger, thy righteous indignation. We have broken thy holy law. We have not obeyed thy commandments. But there is forgiveness with thee. that thou mayest be feared. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, who passeth by the transgressions of the heritage of thy people, who retaineth not his anger for ever, because he delighteth in mercy. Oh, that we might obtain mercy, find grace in thy sight, and know our sins forgiven. Lord, lead us to that one who alone is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. O, lead us to the door of thy mercy, found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who receiveth sinners, yea, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, who came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Oh, to know something of that godly sorrow, which worketh repentance unto salvation, to know something of that true confession of all our sins. For we read that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But, O Lord, grant us that saving knowledge of Christ, for thou must save, and thou alone. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no respite know, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Oh, to be drawn to Christ, in our felt need of him, to save us from all our sins. Oh, to be drawn to that open fountain, open for sin and for uncleanness, opened at Calvary, opened in the wounds of Jesus, and his precious, sin-atoning, meritorious blood. Oh, to be sheltering under his blood. Oh, to be a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood. O Lord Jesus, as we gather here this morning hour of thy day, oh, might it be a true Sabbath day to our souls, but to find our rest in Christ. Oh, may we be found labouring to enter into that rest. How solemnly do we read of those who could not enter in because of their unbelief. Oh, scatter, destroy all our unbelief. Strengthen, increase our faith, our faith in Christ. And Lord, as we gather here, oh, be pleased to gather with us. Make one in our assembly, yea, be thou the master of the assembly. Oh, may there be that solemn awe about this place. The Lord is here. May our heart burn within us. Oh, may we be found in true humility, sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning of him, receiving his word. Oh, may we be found amongst thy sheep who hear thy voice, who follow thee. Dear Lord, remember each burdened, praying, exercised, seeking soul. Those who have come seeking Jesus. Those who have come longing to know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, those longing for that saving knowledge of Christ, whom to know is life eternal, who long for that sight by faith of yon lovely man, who long to know him as their Saviour, their Redeemer, their all in all. Oh, those who long to be found in him, accepted in the Beloved, complete in him. Those who have come with that cry, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Remember those who feel exceedingly tried, greatly tempted. Lord, those who fear to presume, oh, those who long to be made sure, those praying for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that thy Spirit may bear witness with their spirits that they are the children of God. Lord, as we gather here, we really make that profession of Christianity, professing to worship thee, but oh, to be found a wise virgin. Lord, save us from that mere outward appearance. Save us from a mere profession, having a name to live, and yet to be dead, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Oh, might there be found grace in our hearts. Leave not my soul destitute. Lord, remember any here who are sad, troubled, burdened, cast down, longing for a word from the Lord, a word in due season, longing for a touch, a token, a blessing, something to encourage, something to help, something to uphold. Those who need wisdom, those who need patience. Lord, those who need thy intervention. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord to provide. Who would see the mountains flowing down at thy presence? Who would see all things working together for good? Those who may feel all these things are against me. Remember those who are lonely, disappointed, and cast down, walking in darkness, wondering where the scene will end. Those who are greatly confused or perplexed. Lord, we rejoice with those who rejoice, but also mourn with those who do mourn. Those, Lord, who have afflictions, ailments, pains, discomforts. Lord, remember those with sorrows in their lives who may be bereaved. Oh, remember each and every one. Bless the dear little ones, the babes, the children, the young people. Lord, implant thy holy fear deep into their hearts. Call them by thy grace. Remember the Sabbath school and grant all needed help and thy rich blessing. May each of the children be taught of the Lord, taught to love and fear thy name, taught their need of Christ. Do remember parents and grandparents also in that solemn responsibility to bring our children up aright. Grant all needed wisdom, all needed grace, patience, discernment, understanding, sympathy. O Lord, thou knowest. Remember all in the midst of life, the many burdens and cares and responsibilities, in the workplace, in the home, matters to be attended to. Oh, so many hard things and so many problems. Grant, Lord, all needed help. Remember older friends also, bless them in their latter days, and may they prove that at eventide it shall be light. We would lovingly remember this cause of truth, the church here. Be with the officers of the church, help them. Lord, do bless the church with peace and brotherly love, unity and harmony. Could it please thee to raise up an under-shepherd here? Could it please thee to add unto them such as shall be saved, both in church and in congregation? O, let thy work appear. Lord, remember Zion. Help each of thy servants. Lord, remember all the gatherings of thy people. Oh, we pray this day great things may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus, that the angels in glory may rejoice over repenting sinners. Oh, Lord, perform these things this day to the honour and glory of thy name. We would be thankful for all our many mercies and blessings, the supply of all our need. Oh, thou art good, so kind. Dear Lord, forgive us where we're unthankful and forgetful and unmindful. Now, Lord, be pleased to help us as we return to thy word. Do shine upon it, that we may see light in thy light. Oh, do, Lord, break thou the bread of life to me. Lord, do remember those souls who long for something applied, something to prosper in their heart. Lord, those who are looking earnestly, those who are seeking diligently, those hungering and thirsting after righteousness, bless each soul, forgive our every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone.
We'll commence at verse 4 of hymn 298. Like Gad by a troop overcome, they fall through the workings of sin. Yet glory they not in their shame, but mourn their defilement within. On Zion's bright summit above, victorious at last they shall stand, though now for a season they prove the Canaanites still in the land. Hymn 298, verse 4.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, reading verses 24 to 27. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. The ways of the Lord are past finding out. God is, ever has been, ever will be, in absolute control. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Dear friend, whatever you may be passing through this morning, whatever your circumstances, whatever your needs, whatever your situation, whatever may have happened in the past week or month, whatever may be before you in the future, remember these two things. The ways of the Lord are past finding out. And God is in absolute control, and may you be given that faith to trust in him. Now, look at the situation in the days in which Moses was born. There they were under the Egyptian taskmasters. There they were in great affliction, great distress. Matters seemed to get from worse to worse. There was that edict from the Pharaoh to destroy all the sons that were born. And there was Amram and Jochebed, the parents of Moses, already had two children, Aaron and Miriam. And there she was with child with another. We have to be very careful in trying to read into Scripture what we're not told, but we just wonder how many prayers may have been offered up by the parents of Moses that they might have had a female child, knowing that if it was a male, if it was a son, the death sentence was upon it. And perhaps how greatly they feared when Moses was born. And yes, it was a son. Oh, a son who must be hid, a goodly child. And great fear concerning the authorities. A great fear lest that son should be taken and drowned in the river. Oh, we wonder how many children, how many sons did die in that river. I just want to just digress for a moment. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what measure ye meet, so shall it be meted to you. Why do I say this? Well, Pharaoh, those taskmasters, those officers of Egypt, we wonder how many sons they cast into their river, who drowned, who were destroyed, really who were murdered. And what happened to Pharaoh and his army when they pursued the children of Israel into the Red Sea? They were overthrown. They were destroyed. God is not mocked. Oh, with caution should we tread, walking in the fear of God, seeking to do that which is right in his sight. Well, there was Moses. Now, the ways of the Lord are past finding out. You see, as for God, his way is perfect. Absolutely perfect. Everything as God had ordained. And after 3 months, for whatever reason, he could be hid no longer. Really, in a sense, they cast him into the hands of God. Now, you dear mothers here with your little ones, can you think of it, a babe 3 months old, making that ark of bulrushes there by the riverside amongst the reeds and so on, to place that little child to see what would happen. You think of young Miriam standing by, wondering what will happen, and what happened. Perhaps at first sight, to her absolute horror, the daughter of Pharaoh comes along. Well, surely that must be the end. Surely this child will be destroyed. And you think of the anger that was found in Pharaoh, his hatred, his enmity against the children of Israel, and here comes his daughter. But the hearts of all men are in the Lord's hand. Even the daughter of Pharaoh. Yes, the ark is seen. It is fetched. And what happens? Rather than death, there is life. Just as that moment the little one cries, Pharaoh's daughter, she has compassion upon it. And there is Midian, offering to find a nurse, even her own mother. Now, how long Moses was found in his own home, we're not told. One would presume until he was weaned, but again, we need to be careful. We wonder what prayers were offered over that child. You see, there was the destruction of the children of Israel threatened upon them. Just at that time, the Lord would bring forth one who should deliver them. One who should, under God, save them and bring them forth out of Egypt. But the ways of the Lord past finding out. And so there was that time when the parents of Moses must really hand him over to Pharaoh's daughter. Whether they ever saw him again, we must leave, we do not know. But until Moses was 40 years old, he was found in the palace or court of Pharaoh's daughter. And there he was brought up in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, which at that time was the greatest nation upon the earth. We always do well to compare scripture with scripture. And we read much concerning Stephen, that's the martyr Stephen in the book of Acts in chapter 7 as he gives his defense, in what he speaks concerning Moses. Till another king arose which knew not Joseph, the same doubt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live, in which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Now again, it has been said that Pharaoh only had one child, his daughter. It has also been said that Pharaoh's daughter had no children. So there was this Moses, and it was possible, if these things were true, that he could have become the next ruler, the next Pharaoh. Personally, I feel improbable, because during that time, the various pharaohs were really like dynasties. They were almost at war with one another, one house against another, one family against another, all seeking after power, all seeking after control. But these things we have to leave. What we do read concerning Moses, how he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, perhaps having the very best tutors, and was mighty in words and in deeds. But there was one vital difference. He was not an Egyptian. He was a true, genuine child of Israel, of the house of Levi. Indeed, Levi, the brother of Joseph, the son, one of the sons of Jacob, was his great-grandfather. So there was this Moses, 40 years old, come to years, in all the splendor, riches, honors that surrounded him, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, those who believe in man's free will, as it were, to choose God, to make that choice, would make much of this text. Surely it couldn't have been anything but God's almighty grace given to Moses, which so enabled him and taught him to choose rather. As it were, to give up that life of luxury, to cast in his lot with the despised, afflicted people of God. Now, if ever there was an act of self-denial, I'm sure we find it here with Moses. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, "If any man will come after me." Any man. Any man to whom grace is given. Any man who has been born again. Any man taught of God. Any man led of the Spirit will come after me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, those of you here who are not without hope that you are found numbered amongst the living family of God, you know it was nothing but God's almighty grace so working in your heart that brought ye forth out of the Egypt of this world, to be found amongst his dear people, nothing but his grace to deny self, nothing but his grace to bear our cross, nothing but his grace to follow him whithersoever he goeth. Another amazing thing regarding Moses, so well known to those Christians who know the Bible, the name of Moses, well, it wasn't given him by his parents. It was given him by Pharaoh's daughter. We can only imagine that that Moses' parents did name him, perhaps when he was circumcised, but that name we're never told. And the name of Moses, as we read, really means drawn out. For Pharaoh's water drew him out of the water. Well, I see something very sweet, very spiritual here. The Lord's people are drawn out. They're drawn out of this world. They're drawn out by God's irresistible grace. And what a wonderful mercy if you and I have been drawn out, or perhaps, if I can put it this way, are being drawn out. Dangers of every shape and name attend the followers of the Lamb, who leave the world's deceitful shore and leave it to return no more. By faith. Faith is a grace. It is one of the three principal graces: faith, hope, and charity. Let us begin briefly with charity, which is true Christian love, spiritual love. Love to the Lord Jesus. Love to him in our felt need of him to save us from our sins. What a question, do we truly love the Lord Jesus? Is he the chiefest among 10,000? Are we found seeking him that we might know him, that we might be found in him, that we might be saved in him, or that we might know the application of his precious blood, cleansing us from all our sins, that we might be found clothed upon in his glorious spotless robe of righteousness, yea, that we might be found accepted in the beloved. As Noah and those seven souls with him were saved within the ark, for the Lord shut him in, so sinners are saved in Christ. There is perfect salvation in Christ, or there is destruction out of Christ, or to be found in Christ. The Lord shut him in by his grace, by his love. You see, we love him because he first loved us. And because the Lord loved us, so he drew us unto himself. All that lovely word in Jeremiah, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee, choosing rather that love to Christ. When you love somebody, you want to be with them. You want to be in their presence. Or you want to talk to them. You want to commune with them. Well, how much more spiritually these souls who love Christ would be found with him. They would be found striving to enter in at the straight gate. They would be found in that narrow way, for it leadeth unto life. Eternal life, really, the way is Christ. It leads to Christ. All to be found where Jesus is, which is far better. Choosing rather the love of Christ, the love to Christ. Then just very briefly, that grace of hope. To wonderful mercy if we're not without hope. Hope, hoping in God's mercy. You see what great need there is for me and you to obtain God's mercy, to find grace in his sight, to know our sins forgiven. You see, we deserve his punishment, we deserve his wrath, we deserve hell, we're hell deserving sinners. We each have broken the holy law of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. And if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. Oh, to be found hoping in God's mercy, hoping that we are found numbered amongst the flock of Christ. My sheep, hear my voice. Those of you who long to hear his voice, those of you who have come to the house of God this morning, desiring to hear his voice, the companions hearken unto thy voice, cause me to hear it. Or like the psalmist, it's maybe your prayer. Be not silent unto me, O Lord, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Have you come with that prayer Eli taught Samuel? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Well, you've come hoping that the Lord might draw near. You've come hoping that the Lord might speak. You've come hoping that the Lord might speak to you. Oh, you've come, as it were, like a good ground hearer with your heart prepared to receive that word, oh, for that word, that voice to come into my heart, into my soul, to satisfy me early with thy mercy. Hoping, being found in the footsteps of the flock, seeking to follow Christ whithersoever he goeth. Hoping. Ah, do we not read, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon those who hope in his mercy. Perhaps we cannot say much. Perhaps we fear to presume. Oh, perhaps we feel to be so troubled, so tried, so tempted. Am I made a real Christian? Is my religion real? Have I been born again? Am I taught of God? Not without hope, for who can tell? So we have love. We have hope. We have faith. Faith toward the Lord Jesus. Faith in him. Faith believing in him. You see, as this chapter begins, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that faith in Christ is to believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All to be found believing in him, not by mere head knowledge, but by heart knowledge. You see, you find that with the dear disciples when the Lord Jesus preached in the synagogue at Capernaum. And many were offended by his doctrine, by his preaching, by his words. And many were offended and left him, turned their back, returned as it were to the world. Not that they had ever really left the world. And Jesus turned to his true disciples. And he said to them, will ye also go away? Well, dear Peter, blessed with that faith, taught by God, the Holy Spirit, so lovingly replied, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, choosing rather Oh, what a wonderful mercy if the Lord has so worked in our hearts, that the Lord has stripped us of all our own self-righteousnesses. The Lord is emptying us from vessel to vessel. The Lord is shining in our hearts solemn discoveries of corruptions, idols, evils, wickednesses, deceits, and so on. But teaching us our need of Christ, choosing rather, all bringing us to see that Jesus is the one thing needful. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Now these souls brought and taught by God will be given grace to choose rather. For they will see in this world the city of destruction. Or they will see out of Christ an holy, righteous, just, great, eternal God. And in his majesty and holiness, they will tremble, they will quake, they will fear, they will see themselves as ruined, miserable, fallen, defiled, polluted, hell-deserving sinners. Where must I go, or whither flee, to escape the wrath that's due to me? And the Spirit leads them to Christ. Their only hope, their only plea. All the Spirit leads them to Calvary to behold that scene of matchless grace of Jesus in the sinner's place. The Spirit will lead them to his precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. Oh, at times when we feel the weight, burden, guilt, or we see the great catalogue, the endless list of all our sins, we may feel, can it be possible? Can it be possible for my sins that abound on every hand to be forgiven, to be pardoned? We feel so unworthy, so undeserving. Oh, we feel the abundance of our sins. But oh, to view by faith in the precious blood of Jesus, the superabounding grace of God, grace to cover all thy sins, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, it's by faith. By faith in the Word of God. By faith in what is revealed. By faith in what is made known. By faith, the Holy Spirit taking of the things of Jesus and revealing them unto us. By faith in Christ as the one thing needful. Oh, the Saviour, the Redeemer, all the one who is able to save unto the uttermost, all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us, choosing rather to leave this world's deceitful shore, to leave it to return no more. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, no man can serve two masters. You cannot, as it were, hold Christ with one hand and the world with the other. The Lord has said, my son, give me thine heart, thy whole heart. The Lord will not have a dividing heart, a divided heart. There must of necessity be that separation. You see that separation here, firstly with Moses, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and all that it meant, all that it promised, all that it entertained, all that he could have had, all that he could have prospered. You see, the treasures in Egypt, the pleasures of sin, all of these things were, if I can put it in this way, were at his hands, were laid before him, but no, he turned his back. The Lord drew him unto himself. There was that separation, that absolute separation. And then secondly, 40 years later, when Moses returned, as led and taught by God, the children of Israel as a whole must come forth out of Egypt. They must completely leave that land where they had been sojourning. And how they were compelled of necessity to come out from among them and to be separate. And I believe it will be so with every child of God. You see, in and of ourselves, we cannot separate ourselves from this world and the things of this world and the love of the world. In every child of God, there will be two armies, the old man of sin. And the old man of sin would choose rather the pleasures of sin, the treasures of Egypt, would choose rather to be a son of Pharaoh's daughter. But bless God, if we're not without hope that we have that new man of grace within, and that new man of grace will flee from Pharaoh's daughter, or that new man of grace will flee from the pleasures of sin, will flee from the treasures in Egypt, the treasures of this world, whatever the world may afford, whatever attractions there are in this world, the new man of grace will turn the soul to Christ. And I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Poor and afflicted, Lord, are thine, amongst the great, unfit to shine. And though the world may think it strange, they would not with the world exchange, for they have been given that grace, that new man of grace, to choose rather, to suffer affliction. Even naturally speaking, no one would choose to suffer affliction. Are we not always seeking after health and strength and prosperity and comfort and so on? Well, if that is so naturally, how much more so spiritually, when we read the pathway appointed for every child of God without exception? We mentioned about an afflicted and a poor people. Well, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You see, this suffering affliction, we will have Satan, from whose service we have left, to be attacking us, tempting us, accusing us, threatening us, frightening us every day. Or Satan, that awful foe, who seeks to destroy our faith, who seeks to destroy us, who seeks to cause us to make shipwreck of faith, who is so subtle, so devious, so dangerous at times, appearing as a roaring lion in all its fury and anger and revenge and death, but at other times as an angel of light, to deceive, to trick, to guide us away by false lights and false promises that would say, yea, hath God said, to suffer afflictions with the world, the persecuting world. Now, whenever we speak about the persecuting world, I suppose our mind goes back a few hundred years to how our forefathers suffered such dreadful, awful, terrible persecutions, in literally in prisons and in all manner of beatings and so on. Or we may think of those Christians in other parts of the world who also suffer dreadful persecutions. Well, any true child of God will suffer affliction and persecution in measure by the world. If any man love the world, he is the enemy of God. These things are very solemn, very searching. Now, I think of you children at school, I think of you young people at college or in the workplace, I think of you in midlife, in the workplace, and where of necessity we have to mix and mingle with the world. Are we at one with them? Can we go along with them in their vain ways, in their foolishness, in their worldliness? Or is it not choosing rather dare to be a Daniel? Dare to stand alone. You see, the vital thing is, who is on the Lord's side? And how often a child of God must go against the tide, against the stream. So easy to be caught up and carried along in the way of the world. But what grace we need to stand against, to refuse to go where they go, to refuse to do what they do. All to make that stand to the honour and glory of God. We cannot do it in and of our own strength. We need the Lord's help to suffer affliction, to suffer reproach, all to suffer all manner of things to be spoken against us, but choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Ah, a true child of God will desire no better company than to be found with the people of God. Now, was it Peter and John who, being let go from prison, went unto their own? No better place to be found in than the house of God. Well, no better place than the throne of grace, but choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Yea, to suffer affliction with the old man of sin, indwelling sin. Oh, to suffer affliction, as you have been singing with the Canaanites, yet in a land, in the land of your soul. All that besetting sin of unbelief, those doubts and fears, or at times those murmurings, those complainings, that rebellion, or that struggling on, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And again, we think, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And how true it is that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And yes, it seems to be grievous in some of the things that we are called to pass through. It was grievous for the children of Israel to suffer at the hands of the Egyptians, their taskmasters. Oh, it was grievous to see their little sons being cast into the river and destroyed. Oh, it was grievous in all that they had to pass through, but it was a pathway appointed. The pathway they had to walk. And really, you in your small corner, me in mine, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. The Lord tried for righteous. If we have a real faith, that faith will be tried. And at times, it will be tried with fire. You think of Joseph in the prison. The word of the Lord tried him. You think of his dear father when he cried out, "All these things are against me." Or you think of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in that burning, fiery furnace because they would not bow down to any idol. They would serve the Lord their God at any cost, at any price. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Mark those last three words. For a season of our life. How very quickly do flowers fade and die. We was only mentioning this morning, look at the daffodils in our garden, already beginning now to wane. The beauty now being deformed, and soon they will die. And our lives are but for a season. Like a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and soon it is gone. It is appointed unto men once to die. You see, our lives here below are for a season. And really a very, very fleeting, short season. The grave awaits. How are we going to spend our days? Are we going to live in the pleasures of sin? And remember, Saul of Tarsus lived in the pleasures of sin as a Pharisee in his religious life, in all that he was doing. He wasn't suffering affliction. Naturally speaking, he was doing well. He was rising high in his career. But he was living in the pleasures of sin. But the Lord, by his almighty grace, met him on that road to Damascus, and what a change it wrought in his life. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's not really time now, but you read in Psalm 73, that psalm attributed to Asaph, and how he was, his feet when I slipped because he was envious at the prosperity of the foolish. He saw them prospering, they were not in trouble like he was in trouble. And how often a dear, tried, tempted child of God, just like Asaph, forgetting to look at Christ, but looking at the troubles, looking at our afflictions, looking at our distresses, looking at our losses, looking at our crosses, looking at those things which so trouble us. And we begin to sink, our feet well nigh slip, because of all these things. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end, their eternal end of misery, their eternal sorrow, their eternal grief. They lived in the pleasures of sin for a season, but then they died. They died out of Christ, and they were cast into hell. Not for a season, but eternally. Oh, dear friends, these things are so exceedingly solemn. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. For the ways of the Lord pass finding out. And God is in complete control. Well, we just end with Joseph. The king sent and called him. And what an amazing change in his circumstances, in his life. And at that time when Jacob heard that Joseph, his son, was yet alive and was governor over all Egypt, the ways of the Lord passed finding out. God in control. Remember, whatever you may be passing through at present, suffering affliction with the people of God, it is for a season, a short season. Heaven awaits. Heaven will be our rest. Heaven will be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, to be blessed with that grace. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £707, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sayers will preach on Wednesday evening and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, and he will, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with part of hymn number 594. We'll commence at verse 7. Mourning souls who feel the smart of a guilty, treacherous heart, and with mighty care and pain struggle hard relief to gain. Labour hard you may and long, but you'll find your foes too strong. Solid peace can ne'er be had only through a Saviour's blood. Hymn 594, commencing at verse 7.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.